Welcome to Bible Talk with Andrew and Jimmy. As you can see, we are in a, well, same studio, just a different set, but...
A little bit more comfortable. A
little bit more comfortable. Yeah. I kind of like it. How about you?
I love it. I love this better than sitting in a chair all uncomfortable.
Absolutely. I don't know if you can see, but he's wearing some really cool socks.
Mickey Mouse.
I like the Mickey Mouse socks. But we are so grateful for you, for the feedback we've been getting over the last, really the whole podcast, but it seems that the subject of boundaries has been one that has struck a chord with quite a few people.
Yeah, it has. I've got a lot of feedback from you, and we're thankful for that, but I've learned a lot during these last two episodes, and from people, they've shared stories, some things that I haven't even thought about. So I think probably we need to circle back to boundaries at some point in the podcast.
I would agree. And this is going to be part three of boundaries, mainly because there were some questions that have been asked, and we felt like we needed to address some of those things.
Questions, and we need to put a conclusion on this and go to something else.
Absolutely. So why don't you start us off with maybe some of the questions that you feel like we need to answer so we can do just that.
Yeah, so the first one is, what do I need to set boundaries? And the number one answer to that is a desire.
Yeah,
I think you have to have desire to set boundaries. And we usually know the right thing to do, but we need something to drive us to do that. Sometimes it's anger, and that's fine as long as it doesn't cause you to sin. But seeing Jesus and seeing God set boundaries to me is a great way to set boundaries for ourselves. To look at our Father set boundaries goes, okay, I can do that too. And so I think that's a good enough reason for me to have a desire to set boundaries.
Well, and you know, Dave Ramsey in his Financial Peace University book, and I know there's a lot of people that have heard him or maybe read the book, when he's talking about getting out of debt, he makes a statement, you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired before you make a change.
Right.
And that's true with anything, though, whether it's a budget or finances or whether it's life changes. You know, why do people change? Why do people get to a point where they say, I can't keep going this route? I need to move in a different direction. It's because they get sick and tired of being there. And when we look at boundaries, a life of no boundaries causes me to be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. It's very unhealthy. It causes a lot of problems. It leads to bitterness, a lot of things that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to change, we have to get to a point where we say, I can't keep doing this. You know, yeah. Things have to change. I can't maintain. And that's true of sin, too. You live a life of sin, and that's what God offers. You know, with sin, we're like, I'm sick of living that type of life. I want something better. So that desire is a big thing.
Yeah, it's a I've had it moment.
Well, You know, even Jesus in Matthew 16:24 says, if any man desires to come after me, like even to follow Jesus, you have to want to.
Yep, absolutely. So what about you? What about some questions that people have?
Well, I think one of the most asked questions or frequently asked questions that I've received over the last few weeks is, how do I set boundaries and how do I maintain boundaries? And, in a godly way. And number one, I'm not making this decision because I want to punish somebody. It has nothing to do about revenge. It has nothing to do with vengeance or, you know, getting back at somebody. It is making godly decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I want to make this decision for the right reason. But something else is, If we're going to set proper boundaries and maintain those boundaries, we need a solid support system because it's hard. It's easy to talk about. It's really, really hard to put into practice because a lot of times we're dealing with people that we really care about and we really love. And so we need that support system.
I'm just going to go ahead and say this. A lot of times we go to counseling and therapy because we have a problem. That's why most people don't go, is because they think I have a problem. Not really. There was a study shown that if you take a group of 10 people and that 10 people has one counselor, the world would be a better place.
Yeah.
Why? Because everybody needs someone, a support system. You know, that can be family, a really good friend, but the book will actually describe a woman going to a counseling session or therapy because, number one, her father was always angry at her. That's how she grew up. And so, number two, her mom would give her guilty messages. You don't ever come see us. She'll never do this. And the daughter thinks she's doing right by setting boundaries. And then not only that, but her husband is making her feel guilty, and he's always angry at her. And so she falls into depression. And she goes to therapy about this, and she also brings her husband, and he gets mad at her during the therapy session. And she goes, this isn't worth it. Why am I doing this? I knew he would unleash. And I think it's Dr. Henry Cloud says, and she was right. She better be glad I was there. He would have probably unleashed her. But guess what? 2 or 3 months after those therapy sessions, week in and week out, the woman really tried hard, and she come out with figuring out how to defend herself, not physically, but mentally, that language used to hurt her. She figured out how to take care of herself, and after 3 months, her husband realized that he couldn't have it his way.
Yeah.
And then 2 years went by, and they're sitting at the table having coffee, and he gave her a hug and was like, we've come so far in 2 years.
Yeah.
And I say that to say this, that support system, even if it's from a therapist, is so important.
Well, think about it. When we become a Christian, when somebody becomes a Christian, God doesn't just whisk us off to paradise or to eternity at that moment. And we understand why. Like, we as Christians, the gospel plan is a preaching plan. You know, Romans 15, Romans chapter 10, excuse me, talks about that. And you know, God gave us the church. In His infinite wisdom, He gave us the church. He gave us a body of believers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And why? And it's because we can't live this Christian life on our own. He knows because He created us that we need encouragement. We need building up. And sometimes we need people to love us enough to say, listen, you know, you're slipping a little bit. You're struggling. You know, that's Galatians 6, 1 and 2 right there. And if it's true when it comes to being a Christian, then we should understand why, like, even when it comes to boundaries, being surrounded by people who want what's best for us and want what's the right thing, we need that encouragement. We need somebody to say, hey, it's going to be okay. We need somebody to say, no, you need to hold the line, you know, let's pray about it, let's talk about it type of thing, because it's tough.
Yeah, it is. And be that person.
Absolutely.
By the way, if you've got boundaries and you're mature, be that support system, be that friend.
Yep.
That's definitely important.
Absolutely. Well, another question that I have gotten quite a bit over the last 2 weeks is in-laws. We had made a mention about in-laws, and so just very quickly, I want to point this out. The reason why we need to be setting boundaries, and it's healthy to set boundaries when it comes to in-laws. And please don't think I'm saying that in-laws are bad. I'm not.
No, yeah.
I'm not trying to suggest that in any way, shape, or form. But there are a lot of problems that arise in relationships, specifically marriages, because of a lack of proper boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to look at two passages real quick. Genesis 2 and verse 24 and Ephesians 5 and verse 31. They both say the same thing. A man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So you have leaving and cleaving there. And that is God-ordained boundaries. And what God is saying is that marriage is the priority. God is saying that the primary person in your life has to be your spouse. And so no other person needs to be investing more time, money, or energy, creativity, emotion into your relationship than you and your spouse.
Yep.
And, you know, when you look at it that way, it means that as a husband, my wife has to come first.
Absolutely.
As a wife, the husband has to come first. You know, as important as our children are, even, the best thing that we can do for our children is to show them a loving relationship. You know, Christ, you know, we're as a husband, Ephesians 5 tells me I have to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's big right there. Yeah, you know, that's tough. And my kids need to see that. They need to see me loving my wife as Christ loved the church. And the fact is, one day we're going to wake up and our kids are going to be grown and out of the house, and it's just going to be me and Lori. And if we've not been making each other the priority, then there's going to be problems there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yep.
And so this in no way is trying to punish in-laws or anything else. It's, or children. It's following God's divine order of things. And, you know, the fact is, there are some who are more concerned about what parents want or what kids want versus what's in the best interest of spouse. And that's what boundaries do. It just helps us keep the priorities where they need to be.
Yeah. I would say that was my biggest surprise in this book. By the way, if you can't see this, this is the book again. Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Very good. I would encourage you to read it. These are some topics that we've already talked about, but, you know, we can't cover this whole book. But marriage was one of them. When the author said, what about marriage boundaries? I was like, wow, there's boundaries in marriage? You're supposed to be one. You're supposed to be. But it's some really good stuff in there.
Well, and even when it comes to your spouse, you know, the fact is we can't give what we don't have.
Yep.
And, you know, we are to serve out of a sincere desire to do what's right instead of guilt or obligation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you even look at giving in 2 Corinthians 9, you know, Paul tells us there that God doesn't want us to give under compulsion or because we have to. And it has to be more than that. And it's no different. When I'm serving my spouse because I want to, and vice versa, it's a much healthier relationship versus this, oh, I have to thing. And it starts with putting God first, you know, first and foremost. You know, the most important earthly relationship is husband and wife. The most important relationship, period, is God. Yeah. And so if God's first, then, you know, how we approach boundaries is going to be much more godly and not vengeful or out of bitterness.
Yep.
And you mentioned something earlier, you know, when it comes to this, when we start setting boundaries, there are going to be some people that aren't going to be happy with it, and they use manipulative terms.
Yeah.
And what were some of those that you mentioned a while ago?
Guilt messages.
Yeah.
If you really love me, you'll do this.
Yeah.
If you would come see me more, then that wouldn't happen. Yeah. Or you have no idea how much we have sacrificed for you. Those terms, those guilt messages, this is what they are. And the question that I got was, how do you handle those?
Yeah.
And Henry Cloud, again, gives this suggestion. He says we need to get beneath the guilt message. And so he uses an example. A man called his mom, and she sounded sick over the phone. And the son said, Mom, it sounds like you're sick. And she says, well, no one ever calls me, so how would they know? Again, that guilt message. And that was a guilt trip, but the son had really good boundaries. And he empathized with his mother. Sounds like you're feeling lonely, Mom. He would make sure she understands he hears the feeling beneath the guilt message.
Yeah.
And so how do you respond to that? Sounds like you're feeling lonely, Mom. And there's no anger there. They're not arguing. He's just got really good boundaries. Why are you feeling angry, Mom? Yeah. You know, just that simple message there goes a long way.
And we have to understand that when people say things like that, we've got to see it for what it is. You know, they are, they're trying to get us to do something that they want us,
right.
You know,
it's
to
a,
do.
It's a
selfish thing.
Yep.
And they're not necessarily thinking about what's best, you know, for us. And, you know, we do have to look out for the interest of others. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 tells us that. But Paul never says we can't look out for our own interest.
Mm-hmm.
He just says we can't just be so self-consumed. We're only concerned with our own interest. And so there is a divine balance there that we need to struggle for. And, you know, when someone's being manipulative, that doesn't give me a right to lash out. I still have to respond in a godly way.
Exactly.
And I like that example. And, you know, what if somebody crosses that boundary by, you know, trying to guilt me into something? And that's when you put the ball back in their court and say, listen, I'm sorry. you know, that you're feeling that way, but, you know, that's not my fault, you know, type of thing. Or it's, well, why are you so upset? You know, why are you, you know, I'm trying to do this. What's the issue? You know, and
it's just hearing that person.
It's letting them know that you still care for them, but there's a line here that can't be crossed.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to get to that point.
Well, that's the next point, is mature boundaries.
Yeah.
It's the conclusion of the book. What does that look like? If I set boundaries and I've done it long enough and I'm mature in that, I'm going to realize there's going to be a war. There's going to be trials. You're going to win some and you're going to lose some, but you allow room for that. You know that's going to happen. But when you do things Jesus' way, you'll encounter troubles. John 16:33, Jesus says he has overcome the world. And knowing that and doing it his way, God has provided for us a better life. Boundaries is one of the ways he's done that. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So 1 Peter 1:9, I was reading it this morning, and it says, you've received the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Yeah.
Boundaries is one of the ways that we do that. And in a whole other episode, I was reading an article this morning that talks about losing your soul due to boundaries. And it talked a lot about anger and sinning and staying bitter. And we've talked about bitterness before, but I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, but if my motivation for setting boundaries is to get back at someone, then that is incredibly unhealthy and ungodly, and it's not going to accomplish what we want it to accomplish, because healthy boundaries leads to healthy relationships.
Absolutely.
And it just does. And unfortunately, there may be some in our lives who just will refuse to respect those boundaries, no matter how logical and right they are. And what do we do in those situations? The answer is, you know, maybe, and sometimes you just got to say, well, listen, I want a relationship with you, but it can't happen without this. And so until you're ready for this, you know, our relationship isn't going to be what it ought to be.
Yep.
And that's not mean. That's not ugly. That's not ungodly. That's putting the ball back in their court. And God does that with us. You know, 1 John tells us that if we are children of God, we can't keep on sinning deliberately. And so what God is saying is, I want a relationship with you, but the only way we can have a relationship is if you follow this. And, you know, when it comes to our spouses, that means open communication with each other, understanding each other's needs and things, and getting on the same page. And that's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. And it also requires having uncomfortable but necessary open, you know, communication, transparent communication with others, and letting them know, you know, clearly what these boundaries are and why.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When Alyssa and I first got married, communication was not there.
Yeah.
And I think that's common with new marriage everywhere, to be honest, because you're learning how to live with each other. You're learning how to communicate.
Yeah.
2 years ago and now, if you would have told me today, hey, you'll end up this way, I would have said there's no way.
Yeah.
Because boundaries, there's another book that we read, and I can tell you, Alyssa and I would not be where we are without reading this book.
Yeah.
You know, such a good book. We've come such a long way. And
the reason is because it's written on biblical principles.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And, you know, I look at mine and Lori's relationship and how over the last 20 years it's changed, you know, and it's matured, and it's been tough, but we've, you know, some things I've had to learn the hard way, you know, more so than her when it comes to these boundaries. But we both have seen how much better our relationship with each other and with other people have been because of those things. And God really does know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, no kidding.
When it comes to that.
Yeah.
Any other?
Well, The last question that I had was abusive relationships. And I just want to say this. If it's mentally abusive, language, things of that nature, if you can get help, if you can see a therapist, if you see a light at the end of the tunnel of that, go for it. If it's abusive and boundaries is probably not going to help in that situation, it may as far as separating yourself, but healthy boundaries is exactly what you said. We can't have this relationship unless it's like this.
Yeah.
Whereas abusive, it could go further. And that's when you probably just need to get away.
Well, that's still a boundary. You know, that's still saying, you know, until you change.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
And I guess with boundaries, I'm thinking of you can still see, like an in-law. Yeah. You can still see that person. But this boundary is we can't have this type of relationship if you cross. Yeah,
absolutely. And, but, you know, and that comes back to reaping what you sow.
Yeah.
You know, and it's painful, but, you know, God lets us experience consequences for our actions, not because he hates us, but because without feeling those consequences, we're never going to change. And, you know, when it comes to an abusive relationship, number one, as painful and difficult as it is, we need to seek help, you know, reach out to somebody, talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to be willing, if somebody comes to us and they're in that situation, we need to love them enough to help them.
Yep.
And we may not, and that may be turning them to somebody who knows how to help.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I can, if I don't know how to handle that situation, or if I don't know how to help someone navigate that situation, I can help make it worse instead yep. of better.
Mm-hmm.
But too many find themselves in that situation and they just take it. And it's very, very unfortunate. But we need to be willing to help each other and just know that help is out there.
Well, you said it, but people who win their lives do not feel guilty about where they are going.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to make those boundaries, spend time in prayer, read God's word. Yeah. If you don't know where to start, call or text that friend. Read some books. You know, that's some really good guidance out there to help you along the way.
And this is true of work and everything else. You know, it's not just relationships. You know, just very, very quickly, I want to say, you know, Lori and I have decided that we put our phones down at a certain time at night. Now, if it's an emergency, that's one thing. But if it's something that can wait, we're like, we need this family time. We'll get to it first thing, get back to this person first thing in the morning. And sometimes when you do that, somebody will say, well, I called you and you didn't call me back. Like, why didn't you just answer my phone call? We don't always have to explain ourselves when it comes to that. You know, we can just say, listen, I got back to you as soon as I could. That's not dishonest. That's not a lie. That's not any of those things. It's just, it's following those boundaries. So
I was actually trying to stay away from social media a little bit because we talk about it a lot. But even the book Boundaries goes, turn your phone off.
Yeah.
Like, you need to set those boundaries of, I'm going to be off social media at 8 o'clock. Why? Because used to, back in, I don't know how long, you just had telephone.
Yeah.
And then now you have internet. And now you have social media. And your phone has access to you 24/7. Put it away.
Set
that boundary.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we hope this answers some questions. We know we jumped around a bit, but we just felt like we needed to address some specific things that you had asked us. Please keep doing that. We love hearing from you, and we want to keep, you know, tweaking this to make it as helpful as possible. But will you end in prayer?
No, it's your turn.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word that is truly a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. I pray that you will give us wisdom. Help us to have the wisdom that only comes from you when it comes to setting healthy boundaries so that we can have healthy relationships, so that we can serve the way that you want us to serve, so we can love the way that you want us to love, and so that we can look more like your Son every day. Lord, we know there are so many who are hurting, who are struggling, and I just pray that they will come to understand that if they turn to you, if they turn to your word, that you do have the answers. And even though it may be difficult, it will lead to the best life. Thank you for loving us, and we ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
We love you.
See ya.